Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, October 3rd, 2021. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Transformed by the Gospel. Our text comes to us from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, how much power is there in the blood of the Lamb? Well, it's life-changing power. There's nothing that God can not do for you through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life based on what he did at Calvary. Our text this morning is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, one of those classic passages of the gospel. And it addresses our theme today. And this is the letter to the Romans. And I'm telling you, if you ever want to read theology, read, the whole Bible, of course, but Romans chapter 1 through 12 is just amazing reading, and all the way through it. So let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. May God bless the reading of his word. An encounter with the gospel. An encounter with the gospel. How do we encounter the gospel? And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But what is the gospel? That's bottom line. What is the gospel? Let me tell you what the gospel is not. The gospel is not advice. The gospel is the news. And I think that's very important and critical in our time in which we're living. Because the gospel doesn't give advice, it proclaims the news that has already been written. It is God speaking directly to you and saying, this is it. This is how it is. Advice is something you get when you want to get somewhere. But the gospel is something that has already been done for you. I think it's a great distinction because we often wonder how we should live our lives. And we wonder, how is it that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? It's because it's an established fact that Christ died for our sins. And those who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. News is something that has been done for you and for me. You know, all religions in the world, all of them, all religions in the world always try to advise you to do this or to do that or to go here or to go there. I don't know how many of you ever tried chanting. If you chant so many times, or if you go up to Mount Himalaya somewhere and find this guru, maybe something will happen. Advice, advice, advice. But Christianity is the good news already done. All religions tell you how you can find God. But when you come to Christianity, you find that God has found you. Huge difference. Huge difference. And the good news is Jesus Christ. He is the one that has found you and me. And advice can be given, but that's not the gospel. The gospel, when it's received, it changes your life. It completely changes your life. Sometimes people come to church and they wonder what church is all about. In some places, some churches, they think you need to come for, you know, to get counseling and advice. And I understand. Sometimes you need to sit down and talk, but that's not the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel, the basic premises of the gospel, is what Jesus Christ has done for you already. And you know, Paul was a very, very smart man, very intellectual man, very spiritual man, of course. But when Paul addressed his believers, the believers of the church, he said, I purpose myself to know nothing and to tell you nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because the only thing that matters in our life is the role of Christ in our lives. Where does Christ fit into your life and into my life? The only thing that matters is what God has done through Jesus Christ, what has happened at the cross. So I really believe that you and I need to understand that, because once we come to Christ, then we got to process how God begins to reshape and realign our lives with him. He comes, he finds you, you give your heart to the Lord. You say, Lord, do a work in my life. And he begins a work in you. And then we go into all kinds of different ways in which we see God shaping himself in our lives. How God takes form and root. And there are misconceptions as to how God works in our lives. There are people who are very, you know, really wonderful people. And they're so-called fundamentalists. And in many ways, that's what we are because we believe in the Bible. Of course we are. But sometimes the fundamentalism changes a little bit and we become legalistic. That the only way that you and I can grow and develop in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is by rules and regulations that often we place on ourselves. And there's something that you and I need to get this Sunday morning, and it's this, that in order to be saved, you must do nothing except come to Christ. And when you are in Christ, he works in your life. But not through a series of burdens that you and I cannot keep. I mean, I know some of those burdens very well. I remember people telling me, okay, so Christ is in your life, but if you go to Disneyland and the Lord comes, you're staying behind. You laugh, but that's exactly what was said. Sometimes people hear things like, well, you know what? If really, if God is in you and you're working with him, then you must fast every other week or you're not really a Christian. Or they come to you and they tell you things that, I mean, they're burdensome. And Christ did not come to give us a burden, but to remove our burdens. To give us a life of freedom, a life of understanding, a life that speaks of God's love and grace, a life that can be abundant in our lives. Then we have the other extreme that we call them liberals, you know. And they're legalistic as well in a different way. They say, you know, we must not speak much about the blood or the cross. We should not really make so much fuss about getting saved and this and that and the other. So all we need to do is belong to a group, belong to a church, and we'll do good things through the church. We're part of the community, and as a community, we will take care of those who are hungry, and we'll look for social justice, and we'll look for ways in which we can advise our the city hall and be an influence in our surrounding. And yet, when you look at that very carefully, it's a huge burden to carry because we often run dry and we cannot deliver. Just like we will miss our fastings if that's the burden. We will miss doing certain things in life because that's the nature of life. The same way we will miss trying to not be racists and look for social justice. And all of a sudden, Christians become enslaved with a bunch of rules and regulations coming from those who are true Bible-stumping believers to those who are just liberal all the way to the other side. So all of this is advice-driven, not gospel-driven. Because when you come to Christ, there is a release of your life as you have never known before. There are many people in the history of the church that try to find out what does it really mean to be saved? What does it really mean to belong to God? What is the power of salvation? What is this gospel that frees you? One of my favorite ones in all of history, many, but one of them is John Wesley. And John Wesley really had to struggle trying to find out how do you get saved and how do you live the saved life? They used another word, the sanctified life. How do you live like a Christian? Do I need to do certain things every week? Do I need to do certain things the other week? What are the burdens that have been placed on me in order for me to achieve them? And when you try to do that, you don't make it. You cannot do it. You will fail. So John Wesley all of a sudden understood in his own heart, in his own life, that what God wanted to do in his life was not to place a burden, but to place joy in his heart. And his brother wrote a wonderful song called, My Chains Have Fallen and My Heart Is Free. And there is this sense of freedom and this sense of belonging to God who forgives all things, who does not place burdens on you but removes your burdens. When you come to Christ, Your past is forgiven. As a matter of fact, your guilt is taken away. You don't have to pay God for anything you've done in the past. It's all been dealt at the cross. The Lord took that for you. Some of us live with fear of tomorrow. He wants you to know that He's with you. The future belongs to God. Sometimes we're afraid because of the expectations that are placed upon us. Sometimes our parents put expectations in our lives. Sometimes our children do that. And we are afraid and concerned that these burdens will pull us down and we're not going to be able to make it. And we feel like maybe I'm not really the Christian I'm supposed to be. But when you come to Christ, the power of the gospel is such that those burdens do not belong there. They should not exercise any power over you, because the Lord has set you free to be a free person in the name of the Lord. So I really believe deep in my heart that the gospel is just that. It sets you free to live without sin, to live in the freedom of knowing God and loving God, and that there are no rules or regulations that we can put upon anyone to actually make you into a better Christian, but you follow the leading of the Spirit in your heart. Very silent this morning. That's perfectly fine. But how does the gospel shape you? How does this gospel put its imprint in your life? Not with burdens that you can't fulfill. How does it do it? What does it do? Well, the gospel shapes us from having to obey rules and regulations set by others. The gospel allows you to follow God with your heart and integrity. Now, I also believe that the Bible tells us that we need to obey His word. We obey His word. There is an obedience to His word. But it's a different type of obedience of following God in your heart, doing what God wants you to do, as to other people putting on top of you a responsibility and a burden that they themselves cannot even fulfill. It's happened to us. And women also get it all the time. You know, you should remember, if you cut your hair, don't cut your hair. Don't wear makeup, don't wear makeup. Long skirts, no pants. I mean, I can remember those things like it was yesterday. But none of those things really matter. I mean, I'm not talking about indecency, but I'm talking about the heart. The heart of the matter is different, because what shapes our life and how our life should be shaped is to obey the word of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives. Let me tell you the story. I heard it from somebody else. The story of this young woman who had was attending this church and had a chance to speak with the pastor. And the pastor said, "How are you doing? How did you hear about us?" Et cetera, et cetera. So bottom line, she said, "Well, you know, I really want to know more about the gospel, because I'll tell you what happened to me. I worked for this company, a very important company, and she had made some very grievous mistakes to the point that she should have been fired, and she wasn't going to get fired. And so she was accustomed to the fact that some of her bosses always took credit for the things that she did. You know how that goes in work? You work hard, 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 and somebody else takes credit for all your work. They say, "Well, that's what I did," when they never did anything. Happens to all of us. But he says, "This is the first time that this happened to me." The boss went into the big room and said, "Gentlemen, I do not want you to fire her because it's my fault. I didn't train her properly. I didn't prepare her right. It was my fault. It's my problem, not hers. Please don't fire her. If you're going to fire anyone, fire me, because I really did not help her." And so, of course, she kept the job. He lost some social capital, but she was spared from losing her job. And she couldn't understand why the boss would have done that, because all the bosses she's had before always said, "Oh, yeah, her." Or would have fired on the spot, or said, "I did that," when she had done it. So finally, he was able to talk to his boss and said, "Can you tell me what in the world happened there? And because I don't understand this, you know, you took my blame. You took my blame." And so he says, "Look, I'm only going to tell you this. First of all, I'm a Christian." Here goes with the shaping. "I'm a Christian. And my whole life is based on a man who took the blame for me. And I tried to live that way. The gospel has shaped my life to forgive and help people. Whoa. So she was in church and wanted to know more about the gospel that that man had in her heart. She gave her heart to the Lord, served the Lord today. So there are things that happen in our lives when Christ gets in. And it's more than just mere rules and regulations. It's the heartbeat of God. It's the presence of God. It's the ability of God speaking to us in a living way, in a clear way, in a direct way. He knows how to speak, doesn't he? He knows how to guide. We're going in our country. And by the way, there's a great change in our country. You know, the smart people know that this country is never going to be the same. It's this, everything's changing. And one of the big issues today is race relations. And mandatory going to listen to how to get along with people and people of different color. And, you know, I said, well, I'm of a different color. And I said, well, you got to listen. And so I sit down and I listen to these people telling us how to get along. And I went to the scriptures and I came across something that I thought would be very interesting. In race relations, and how God speaks to you and to me. The Lord doesn't say go take a seminar on how to get along with people that are of a different culture. People of a different skin color. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 14, Paul is facing Peter. And Peter was one of those guys, squeaky guys, who showed his face one way and then showed his face another way. And Paul called him. And he says, you're discriminating against the Gentiles. And you're saying that they're half-breeds, really, because they're not circumcised. And in reality, he says, you know that the Jewish faith was a colossal mistake and debacle. The only thing that the Jewish faith did was provide us with the commandments that show us that we are sinners. It doesn't save. Christ is the one that set us free from the law of sin and guilt. So all of a sudden, when you read Galatians 2:14, you find that it says that the gospel, the truth of the gospel, is what liberates us from racial prejudice. It is the gospel, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ sets us free from looking at someone across the room and judging them in our hearts to say, Because, you know, racism at the bottom is absolute insecurity. Yeah. Insecurity couched in, I'm better than the rest. When in reality, you're made with the same clay as the rest of us. So when it comes to race relations, the Lord wants to speak to you. And he uses the gospel, the power of the gospel, to shape you into someone who loves other people of different races. You're silent today. Wait till next week. Then, as you go on, the gospel applied to your life. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing about giving, about sending money to the church, lots of money. He had a huge project. I don't know what he was going to do. He wasn't going to buy a Cadillac for sure, but he needed the money to do the work of the Lord. And so he could have appealed to the Christians and the Corinthians based on the law, because the law says 10%, and he would be right. But he didn't do that. He could have said, I'm an apostle, and I'm demanding this of you, so give that to me. He did not use his apostolic strength either. You know what he used? He said, Christ, who was rich, became poor, that we who are poor can become rich. He goes to the gospel. As Christ gave his entire self, so must you, Corinthians, give more than you could possibly imagine. You know, if we are to follow that logic, are you ready for this? Jesus didn't tithe his blood. He gave it all. And some of us are really stingy when it comes to a heart of giving. He gave it all. Can I hear an amen? This is the time to collect an offering. Okay. But see, Jesus didn't tie his blood. He gave it all. And so you and I as Christians are molded and shaped to give it all. To give it all. Because Christ is the model. That's what the gospel does. The gospel helps you with race relations. He helps you in your stewardship of money. How about marriage? When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, some people believe that those folks there were faithful to their wives, etc. But they still had a pagan understanding of marriage. And in those days, the understanding of marriage was that you had a wife, but it was more like a business deal of sorts, like arranged marriages. And then you had concubines. And there was a role for the wife, and there was a role for the concubines. And Paul writes mostly to men. They were the major disruptors of God's plan for marriage. And so Paul doesn't write in Ephesians for the man or the husband to be faithful, but he tells him to cherish his wife. Cherish his wife. And you know what model he uses? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You talk about life-changing principles in your heart, the power of the gospel in your life and in my life. Amen. It changes you. It's not just a routine of coming to church. It's not a routine of going through a religion. As we said, the gospel is not advice. The gospel is good news. It's the news that has been established. I'll give you one more. Sometimes we forget how important it is for us to live righteous lives. And I actually am going to read this to you because I think it's important. It's on Titus. In Titus chapter 2. And we've been through Titus off and on, but it's best to look at it again. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Here it is. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purity for himself, a people who are his very own, eager to do what is good. What God does is he installs in your heart a life of godliness, where all of a sudden God's grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaches you to stay away from ungodly things. Not that we're not free to sin. And God's grace, the gospel, the power of God, teaches you how to live a life. How to live a life that honors God. So here we go. Should I sin? Should I not sin? No, let me finish. Should I sin? Should I do this? Should I do the other? So people say, well, maybe I should not do that because I look bad. Others will say, if I'm found out, I'd probably be excluded from my, quote, social cycle. Well, I better not do this because I want God to bless me and prosper me. I want my Cadillac or whatever. Well, I better not do this because I'm going to hate myself in the morning. You know what we need to say? I'm not going to do this because Jesus died so that I would not have to do this. Amen. I don't do this because Christ died for my sins. I don't need to go there. Because all the other arguments look bad. They're all self-serving. And they're all selfish reasons. We don't go to the world because Jesus Christ died so that I would not have to do that. Amen. Grace, the power of God, the gospel shapes us to hate the things from which Christ has died for. And the Lord does not want you or I to dishonor the Lord. Once you do that, sin loses its attraction. Because the greater gift is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where you know that Christ is there. And only the gospel can take away the desire to do wrong. You want to do right. Oh, we all got moments of weakness. Oh, by all means, that's why I'm not saying this, you know, this is not an easy road. No, no, no. Because John says, you know, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. We're lying to ourselves, you know. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is why this morning I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel shapes us. Gospel does something to us. It's not just a mere religion, not just a mere rite, not just something we do. It's the life that we need to live for God. Can I hear an amen? So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning because we believe in you. But more than that, you believe in us, Lord. I don't understand, Lord, why you love us so much, but you did. And, Lord, we know that you could have given up on all of us. You did not have to the cross, to go to the cross and die for us. You could have gone home. But you loved us so much that you stay there and you bled until the last drop of blood, so that we would be saved and that we belong to you. Help us as a people to honor you and to bring to you our needs and insecurities and moments of defeat so that you can make us victorious. So Lord, we submit to you. Thank you for the gospel, which is not advice, but the good news that Jesus died for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord. So, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We are so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page by clicking on the link below. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org or check out our Facebook page. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. Be transformed by the gospel. And we'll see you next week. Bye.